might say again, I thank the Lord for salvation.
Light switch right here.
Oh, the light switch. Thank the Lord for His salvation and His mercy to me, to the saints of God. I'm just glad to be saved. I thoroughly enjoy it, and I appreciate God's gracious dealings with me and with you. When God deals with us, you know, folks, it's always gracious. It's always good. Even when He kind of gets the switch out and chastens us, it's good. It's gracious. So thank the Lord tonight for salvation. Desire continued interest in your prayers as we look a little bit in the Word of the Lord tonight. Thought a little bit this afternoon about something that's not new to any of us, but we recognize that living for the Lord and eternity and going there to be with Him in heaven, I think we all recognize tonight it's a close way. I was thinking during prayer as I was hearing our brother pray, I thought also it's probably a little closer sometimes than we imagine it is. Sometimes we don't realize all the pitfalls and the dangers and the snares that are out there really that are to take us. And how we have to be so very careful that we don't pick one or two of them up along the way. Or that we don't walk into and get acquainted with one of them in some way. It's a close way. Listen to what the Lord said in Matthew 7 and the 13th verse. Enter ye in at the straight gate. I'd like for you to get a little picture of this tonight as we read this briefly. Straight meaning narrow, confined, if you will. Not a broad way, but a passageway that there's just not a lot of room for a lot of other things. Therefore, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. Now, that denotes a... And broad is the way. That kind of makes me think of something that I can just go lazily through. I don't have to have any aim or I don't have to have any direction. I can just go. You know, it's kind of like the old saying, hitting the broad side of a barn. You know, it would be kind of easy to do that. Just go that way and, you know, you can't miss it. You know, have you ever had someone give you direction somewhere and say, just go up that way and you can't miss it? Well, that's kind of the wide way, the broad way. You don't have to plan to hit the broad way. You don't have to plan to go in at the wide gate. You don't have to make any preparations. You just start going with no foresight, no thought whatsoever, and you'll make the broad way. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. But He said straight or narrow or concise or you're going to have to aim for the straight way. You're going to have to put forth an effort. You're going to have to apply yourself tonight to go in at the straight way. He said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And then a very sad thought here. And few there be that find it. I often thought about the Lord's parable of the sheep and the goats. And it came to me quite a few years ago. I was using that in the text of Scripture, and it just came to me so forcibly. It was years ago. He talks about he's going to put the sheep, I believe, on the left, the goats on the left hand and the sheep on the right hand. And we think about that parable, and it's been preached on and thought about. But, you know, that's a very touching and a sad thought because he wasn't talking about sheep, and he wasn't talking about goats. He was talking about human souls. He was talking about an eternity of those goats being separated from God. And a lot of times we need to bring the focus of what God and Christ is talking about. He said, few there be that find it. That's a terrible thought. That's a thought that I don't like to imagine, but the Scriptures tell you and me of this sad, sad calamity, that few there'll be that find it. I thought then as I read that little thought I had this morning about being acquainted with Him, a lot of people are still being introduced today to Jesus Christ, but few people are willing to be acquainted with Him. Few people are willing to take time out of their life to get to know the author and the giver of life. I want to encourage us again another time tonight. Get to know Him. Become acquainted with Him. Take time out. Broad is the way. You can miss Jesus without even trying. All you got to do is start walking. But listen, if you want to go to heaven, if you really want to have eternal life, if you really want to hit that straight way, you've got to get to know Him. You've got to get to learn Him. You've got to worship Him and study Him and apply His life to your life. Sobering thought when you think about it. So with that kind of a thought laid down of closeness and few there be that find it, I'd like to kind of shift gears just a little bit now and talk about you and me. I'd like to think a little bit about a source. The source of your value system. The source of your character. The source of the person that you are. The source of the father that you are. The mother that you are. The husband, the wife that you are. The source of the man or the woman that you are. And recognize there are things that we really need to take notice of. Because in this matter of becoming the man or the woman that I or you want to be, choices count. Choices count. They're very, very serious choices that you and I need to make in life. And we don't need to say, well, I'm just going to take any shot I can, or I'm going to be just the best I can, or this kind of thing. We need to apply ourselves to the character and to the virtue and to the person that we really are. I'm afraid too many times, too many people go through life accepting the person they are without realizing that what they're choosing or what they are applying themselves to has eternal ramifications. It's not something just for the moment. Not only as parents do we have our own life and our own marriage, but we got little children growing up and we're pointing them somewhere. We're pointing them somewhere. Brother Tony brought out a good thought about blessed is the man whose quiver is full, talking about arrows in the as children are as an arrows in the hand of the I can't quite get that scripture, but he talks about children being arrows and blessed is the man who has his quiver full. And he says, what do you do with an arrow? You point that arrow. And I thought, well, that's a good thought. Do you realize if you love your children today or whether you don't love them, I believe you love them, you're pointing them somewhere. And the choices that we make, the character that we are, the virtues that we possess is having a guiding influence in that little life. Lord, help us tonight to recognize choices are very serious. And sometimes we just pass them off. Oh, I'll do this, or I'll do this, or I won't do this, or I won't do that. I'll go to service, or I won't go to service. I'll pray tonight, I won't pray tonight. Whatever. But they have eternal ramifications in our life. A few years back down here, we'll try to zero in on this message after a while, but I'm trying to get some little thoughts in our mind that it is a close way. And then we make a lot of choices. And those choices have eternal consequence on us. Quite a few years back now, we were down here for a meeting, a camp meeting, assembly meeting or something. And I had a little message that I brought about trees. Well, I want us to think a little bit tonight now about yourself as a tree. And hopefully with God's help, we can kind of tie it into what we've already talked about. The Bible speaks of at least two different kinds of trees. Over in Luke, the 6th chapter, I want us to get a look at a couple of trees that Jesus talks about. Luke, the 6th chapter, and the 43rd verse. Talks about two kind of trees here. And how they hopefully it's going to tie into the person we are, the character we are, the type of virtue we have, the person that we really are tonight, the source of our character. For a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known of his own fruit. For of a thorn men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Two different kind of trees I want to think about tonight a little bit. About the tree that's good and a tree that's corrupt, or a tree that's evil. If you think about a tree, what do? They produce fruit, don't they? They all produce fruit, or they wouldn't be able to propagate themselves. The good tree produces the good fruit that we enjoy. The bad tree produces the fruit that we consider waste and just throw it away. You take the Osage orange or the hedge tree or whatever you call them down here. I think we used to call them horse apples and different things. Bodark tree, I believe, is the correct name for it. They produce a ball about that big around, and I don't know of anybody yet that's ever figured out a good thing for them. When I was a boy, we used to throw them the signs on the highway. Now, I don't recommend that, but that's the only thing I ever found I could use them for. And actually, I don't recommend that, but anyway. It's something that's just a waste. It's something that no one ever uses for anything. I want my life, and God wants our life to account for something. And he wants that that's produced from me and from you and the choices that we make to go into that to be fruit that will last over into eternal life, fruit that will have value to it and have substance to it, fruit that you and I can offer to someone else or God can use in his kingdom, the fruit that will produce, that will satisfy you and satisfy God and satisfy those that are around us. I want us to think a little bit now just a moment, to look real carefully at the fruit that you're producing. Bearing in mind, there can be two trees. There's a good tree, there's a corrupt tree. There's fruit that comes from those trees that are edible and pleasant to have, and there's those that we hadn't found a use for them anywhere, and they're going to be waste some way. And I want to ask you, as you think about that little thought, are you satisfied with your fruit? Are you satisfied with your character? Are you satisfied with the person that you really are? I know we all can think, well, everybody can improve, and maybe that's so. But I'm talking about deep down, right in the heart of the matter, the person that you really are, because you should know yourself better than anyone else. You should know yourself better than your wife or your husband or your parents or your children. You should know yourself inside and out to some degree at least. May God help us now to look inside and think real serious. Am I satisfied with the person that I am? Am I willing to take this person? Am I willing to take my life? Am I willing to take my experience and ask someone else to follow me? Am I willing to point my children in the same way that I'm going? Am I willing to say to them, I want you to have what I have. I'm satisfied with the man, the woman I am. Therefore, I want you to have this very same thing. I want you to go to heaven just like I'm going to heaven. I want you to have this assurance that I have. Can we say that tonight from the depth of our heart? Or are we willing to say, follow me as I follow Christ? Because you see, as much as we may think little of ourselves, we have an impact on one another. We have impacts on each other. And we have someone probably somewhere that's looking up to us. I went in the store up at La Ronja for a little bit today, and as a man, and I suppose it was his two sons, got out ahead of me, and I was sitting there in the truck, and I watched him walk in front of me, and the one little boy, he was over at yay high, he jumped out and he ran ahead, but he stopped. And you know what he did? He turned around and looked. And you know who he was looking for? He was looking for his father. He wanted to see if that father was there. He was excited about going in the store, but then he got to thinking about it. Wait a minute, where's daddy? Somebody is looking for you. Someone is looking at you. Someone is watching your life and going to pattern them. Are you satisfied tonight with the person you are? It's a close way. It's a narrow way. Are you willing to take what you have right now, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, down toward, I believe, the end of Revelation somewhere, it says, even so, come Lord Jesus. I told, before my wife passed away, died, I told her and I told different ones, I said, that's what I want on my tombstone. I want to be living in such a way that when the Lord comes, whatever happens, whatever my condition is, whatever the circumstance is, whatever body's doing to me or not doing to me, whatever temptation's coming my way or not coming my way, I want my personal testimony to be, even so, come Lord Jesus. So when I told the man what we wanted on the tombstone, I made sure he put that on there. God, help us tonight to be willing and able to say, here I am, Lord. And it's really the fire's raging, the fire's hot, and a lot of things are happening that I don't understand. Even so, come Lord Jesus, right where I am tonight. We can have that assurance, we can have that hope, but it's a straight way, it's a close way, and it's a narrow way. What kind of person are you? What kind of fruit are you bearing? What kind of fruit is in your life. There was a man, I suppose it was David, wrote this, 19th chapter of Psalm somewhere. He talked about cleansing him of his secret faults. You know, salvation is a wonderful thing. God is a wonderful God. He's able to get down to where you and I just sometimes don't like to go. He's able to dig around us. He's able to look down in us. And he's able to see our secrets. You know, I've got secrets that none of you know about, but God knows every one of them. I've got thoughts that none of you know about, but God knows every one of them. And David, I suppose, he cried out and said, cleanse me. Cleanse me from my secret faults. Oh, Lord, help our character not just to be an outward character, our persona not to be just from the outside, but may it rise up from a depth within us of holiness unto the Lord, written across the tables of our heart, the old heart being cast out and a new heart implanted by the love and the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost, and that we can say, even so come, Lord Jesus, not only with our lips, but with our very heart, our very being, that we can live that way. Lord, I want you to come when you're ready, and by your grace, I'll be ready. Secret faults. Things that no one else knows. No one but you and me, or you and me, or me and the Lord, or you and the Lord. May we look down in our hearts tonight, because you see, the Lord's going to judge our secrets. The Lord's going to judge our secret character. He's going to judge the thoughts of our mind. Gets real close when you think about it. You see, the Broadway says, well, I'm dressed right, I talk right, I look right, and I go to the right congregation. That's the outward person can say that. But you know what? The inward person is going to have to answer to God about its direction, its thought, his feelings, her feelings. The very heart is going to have to reveal itself on the day of judgment. What would be revealed in your life? Close way now. I said this morning I want us to talk frankly. What would be revealed? What would be revealed? You think about that for a moment. Is there something down there that you don't want revealed? Oh, God, help us to cleanse ourselves, even from our secret faults, those fruits that no one else knows about but you and God. Oh, may we be cleansed from all the things that are unholy, that we might be a tree of righteousness, that we might be the man, the woman, that God designed us to be. I thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to make us, or that we might be trees of righteousness. That was his purpose in coming, that God would be glorified in your life and in my life. And Satan came around to destroy and to corrupt and to wring the tree, if you will. You know what that means, don't you? You've seen a tree that's been wrung before and put a gap in it all the way around. And you know what happens? The tree dies. That's what Satan wants to do with your testimony. That's what Satan wants to do with your character. That's what Satan wants to do with your life. That's what Satan wants to do with your heart. He wants to put a ring around it where there'll be no nutrition from the Lord coming into your life. And the first thing you know, you're just a dead tree. Satan came to kill, to destroy, and to take away the very thing God wants in our lives tonight. Oh, I thank him for his love and his mercy, that Jesus is willing to take the person we are and remake us. You don't have to be satisfied if there's sin in your life tonight. There is a way where we can be free. We can go home. We can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I want us to go a little deeper now, or a little ways. You see a big tree standing out there in the front, or you see one out going down the highway or in the woods. You know, there's more to a tree than meets the eye. We see the manifestation growing up from the ground. But there's a lot of things that impact a tree, but I want to think about two of them for a little bit now, and really just one. But you know what we don't see, if it doesn't meet the eye, is the roots. But the roots are a vital, vital part of that tree. In fact, it is the tree, if you think about it. Whatever the tree has, it kind of owes to its roots. It owes to what it's grounded in. It owes its protection from the storm, not to the top of the tree, but to the roots of the tree. It gets its nutrition from the roots of the tree. There's a lot more to a tree than you see. There's a lot more to my life and your life. It's much more to my character or your character than what's just manifest. It's where we're rooted. It's where we're grounded. And that's where I want us to concentrate tonight, is to look down and see where we are grounded, that we are going out to meet the Lord, that we're called to be trees of righteousness, that the Lord has told us this is a close way, and it calls on you and me to make serious choices with our life, and that we are, in a large sense of the word, we're appointing others to follow us as we follow Christ. Oh, God, help us now to be rooted and grounded in that substance that will give us the nutrients, the strength, the grace, the power, and the love, and the things that we need to produce fruit that will be glorifying to the Lord. Not only fruit outwardly, but the very concept of our heart, the very thinking of our heart, the very motive of our heart, the very being that we are, that our thoughts be pure and clean and holy, that our motives be up and we'll be able to stand the judgment shock. Roots. Where are you rooted tonight? Where are you grounded tonight? Another little thought we think about, I don't really want to say too much about this perhaps, but it's another reality. And in some ways it'll tie in with our message, is, you know, you can also take a tree and you can graft a tree. And every one of us have been subject to grafts. We've all had things that come in our lives that maybe weren't there in the beginning. And they impact us and they affect us. God help us to not let those grafts that are unpleasant and unkind and sinful and of the world and the things that the world would try to portray as happiness and the world would try to portray as the right way to go, and everybody's doing it. The entertainment world, the news media, the sports, and all the things that we see around us is trying to graft itself into us. God forbid that we accept anything that doesn't have holiness unto the Lord on it. Because you see, the things you graft in, the things you bring in, it affects the person you are. It affects the man, it affects the woman, it affects the father, it affects the mother. It has a direct impact on our character and on the person we are. And when you and I subject our minds, subject our eyes and our ears and our very bodies to the things of this world that are corrupt and are destined to be cast into a lake of fire, don't we realize tonight they're impacting us? The movie we would watch, the television programs we watch, oh, you can say what you want to, but they impact us. They have a very definite bearing on our character. You don't have to be a saint of God to know that. The psychologist of the world will tell you they have a direct bearing on who we are, who we set up as our idols, who we set up as our role models. It has a direct effect on our character and the man or the woman that we are. Be careful, saints, on what you graft in to this tree. Be careful, dear ones, if you're not saved. You're out there and you've grafted in some things, and it's producing fruit that won't stand the judgment shock. Oh, don't think for a minute the things we don't take in don't have a bearing on us. Yes, they do. The things you hear, the things you listen to, what you read, the psychology that you accept, the mindsets and the opinions that come your way, talk shows. I'm not telling you not to listen to some of these things, but I'm telling you, you might be better off if you didn't, because they present an unscriptural basis for what do they talk about most of the time. And they impact us. They form our values. They help form our values. So you see, there's more to a tree than meets the eye. Oh, God, help us to be rooted and grounded in the truth. And don't try to say, oh, that won't bother me. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. That's like saying if you're sanctified and somebody slaps your face, it won't trouble you. Yes, it will. Oh, you'll find grace to overcome it, but your face will hurt. Listen, God help us. When we try to deny the impact of the world, we're denying something that we shouldn't. It's a reality out there. And as saints of God, we've got to be hid behind the cross. We've got to measure things by the standard of the Bible. We've got to accept what the Lord has brought and taught and demonstrated for my life. It's the only safe way. And that goes into making it a close way. Because I want to tell you something. It's hard sometimes to say no to the world. Now, preacher, watch out. We're saying, no, it's hard sometimes to say no to the world. Because you see, the world has very influential ways about it. And it has a very good argument system. And it can produce all kind of things that's not really in and of itself sinful. But what happens to it, it's a stepping stone, or it's an introduction to something that would corrupt the truth. God help us tonight to recognize we're in the world. Yes, we got it on our hands, but we're not of the world. So be careful, saints. It's a close one. See, you're being formed. You say, well, I'm 40, 50, 60 years old, but you're still being formed. Your values are still being established in a way, and you're still being cultivated. You're still being matured in the Lord, or you're still growing out toward the world. May God help us to recognize that there are things that impact us and roots of the tree. I want to ask you tonight, where have you put your roots down? Now, you have them. Every one of us have them. We're everyone drawing strength from something. We're all drawing our substance from something. We're drawing our values from something. We're forming our families based on something. We are drawing for our very being from some source. Tonight I want to ask you, where have you put your roots down? I don't mean in a building, but I mean in those things that some ways are intangible, but yet they form the person you are. They form your home. They form your family. They form your mind. They form the very core of your being, and they will form things that you will take with you to the judgment. God help us tonight to consider, where are my roots? Where am I putting them down? Where am I putting them down? What are you drawing from? Don't cast it off as saying it doesn't matter, because it does. Shipwrecks happen many times because someone doesn't do what they're supposed to. They don't watch. They're not careful. Listen, if we're not careful, there's a shipwreck out there. And it's your name written on it or my name written on it. So, the devil came to steal, to kill, to destroy, to take away what God has established in our lives. And now here we are wanting to make heaven our home, and I'm afraid some of us are trying to go the broad way. Oh, God's so good, God's so much love, that I can make heaven. Listen, it's a concise way. It's a close way. It's a narrow way. It's a prayerful way. It's a thoughtful way. It's a way of consideration. And it does matter where we put our roots down. It does matter what we accept. It does matter what we draw from. It does matter what we do with our life, because it all affects us. You know, you can take the most healthiest tree out of a nursery, big live oak tree or a pine, just any kind of tree you can think of, and you can walk out to some salt flat and you can stick it in the ground and that tree's going to die. Yeah. Oh, you can have high hopes for it. You can have, oh, this is going to be the prettiest live oak tree. It's going to just grow and send its branches out all over the place. But if we set it out there in a salt flat, it's going to die. Listen, we can have high hopes for ourselves. We can imagine ourselves doing great things for God. We can imagine having a home that's so wonderful and beautiful and a family so gathered around one another. But listen, where are you putting your roots down? It's going to make a difference. It's going to make a big difference. Oh, it's going to make a difference for now, and it's going to make a difference for eternity. You know, we pretend a lot. We do. We pretend. I mean people. They pretend a lot. You know, it's not going to happen. I've got plenty of time. Or it's all okay. You know, and I'm guilty of this. I was in the store the other day. The lady there at Walmart I know pretty well. She's been to services a few times there in Four Corners. She and I talk, and she's a friend, you might say. So the other day, I believe this was the lady I was talking to. The other day, I was in line at Walmart, and there's a woman right ahead of me. And the clerk asked her, said, well, how are you doing? And the lady remarked, fine. And went on, you know, paid her bill, went on. So I walked up to this lady in my come out turn. I said, have you ever thought about how many times people say fine, okay? when really they're hurting, when really they're crying, when really they're in terrible trouble. People like to pretend. People, sometimes we fail to mention that, well, really and truly, folks, I'm hurting. You know, they'll say, well, Brother Stanley, how are you? I say, well, the Lord's blessing me, and sometimes I'm about ready to jump out of my skin or something. You know? Sometimes I'm about ready to go running down the road or something. But we do that. We sometimes kind of shield ourselves from admitting the problem or admitting the trouble, or we don't want to bother someone. We're good pretenders, mankind is. We're able to just put up a facade, if you will. God help us tonight to break down that and say, this is the person I really am, and I'm drawing from a source, if this be the case, I'm drawing from a source that's polluting me, and my person that I really am, I'm not satisfied with, I'm not happy with. There's choices I've made that I'm reaping them, and I want to change that. How do I change that? Oh, God, help us to be willing to make changes and get rooted in the right place, if you will. Speaking of pretending, I want you to do a little pretending for me right now. I want you to imagine a beautiful place that you would like to go to. Now, I'm serious. I want you to imagine it. Colorado, Florida, fishing on the river, deep sea fishing, visiting family and friends. Just you imagine right now a place that, oh, you just love to be there. Okay, I want to give you a little chance. Now, you got that in your mind. Now, I want you to do something else. I want you to look down at your feet. Where are your feet? Your feet's where you are. That's where your roots are. You know, we can pretend and we can imagine and we can think and we can say it's all right with my soul. Jesus is going to give me time. I'm really not such a bad fella after all. Oh, and all this is not necessary. Dressing this way is not necessary. Turning my back on the world, oh, it's not so bad. Or not necessary in the world, well, it's not so bad. And really it's not necessary for me to just be so careful with my life. We can pretend all we want to. But where are your roots? Where are you looking at? That's where you really are, see. You know, we can pretend, oh, I'd like to be out in Pontchartrain, or I'd like to be out in the Gulf, or I'd like to be on a mountain in Colorado. But listen, when we look down, we're out here at the Oak Grove Church of God. That's where we really are. That's so important for us to realize that. Let's quit pretending. Let's don't pretend. But let's recognize I'm a sinner if that be the case. And if I don't get saved, I'm going to hell. Right? Is that right? If we don't get saved and we're a sinner, we're going to hell. And if I raise up little ones, I'm going to be pointing them to a lake of fire. One day, before I was saved, I was thinking about being saved. And I was kind of kicking against the pricks. And the Lord brought me to a place. I was saying this reason and that reason. He told me just as clear and plain as day. He brought my two sons to me, and he said, but what about them? And, oh, listen, I got to trembling. I said, Lord, is it that serious? He told me, and I was a sinner, folks. He said, it's just that serious. It's just that serious. Oh, listen, I want to go to heaven. I want others to go, but it's a close way. It's a narrow way. It's not a way that you and me are going to be able to just say, well, I can set my roots down anywhere I want to. It pays us to check our roots. It pays us to see where we're drawing our strength from. Is it the entertainment world? Is it the sports world? Is it the society pages? Is it personal problems that we might be having? Is it things that's happened to us? Is it the impact of someone else in our life? Are we drawing our strength? Are we drawing our person from them? Are we being impacted by the wrong influences tonight? You think about it. Where have you sank your roots down into? I want to look at a man that went the wrong way. His name was Lot, over in the 13th chapter of Genesis. Start at the 8th verse. And Abram said unto Lot, see there, be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Now, it was Lot's choice. It was Lot's choice. He said, okay, I'm going to look up and see what's going on here. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest from Zorah. Then Lot shows him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the city of the plains, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. He made a choice. And he pitched his tent before a wicked place. He started establishing his roots. He started setting down the person that he was going to be. And he pitched it over there under vile influences, under wicked influences. Oh, how wicked was it? The most despicable of sins were being committed there. It vexed Lot, but he had pitched his tent over there. Have you pitched your tent in the despicable? Have you pitched your tent in the sinful? And are you ashamed of it? And are you vexed about it? Well, I want to cry out to you tonight, come out of there. Be separated from that thing. Be uprooted by the blood of Jesus Christ and come and pitch your tent or set your roots down in the Lamb's book of life, in the Lamb's way, in the highway of holiness. Listen, it vexed Lot, it said in another place. He was so sorry for it, but he stayed there. He stayed there. He pitched his tent. It became too big an influence. What did he say, I wonder? I wondered if he said, whoa, I hate this place, but I sure am making good money here. Oh, I tell you, these people are so wicked, but... Oh, listen, I've got my roots here. I got a nice little house built over here. You know, we use all kind of excuses not to be uprooted. Oh, God, help us to let the Lord just come in and break up the fallow ground, till our soil and take out the old roots and root us in His holiness and His righteousness and His peace. It was an exceedingly sinful place. Did it impact Lot? He lost his wife. That's a direct result of pitching his tent. He had incest with his children. A direct result. Yes, it impacted him. Did he become a great nation, a prosperous nation, a holy nation? No, I believe it was the Edomites. Oh, listen, the people, a great sin, and they were despicable among the children of God. Was it worth it? No, it wasn't worth it. Is it worth it for you to sink your roots down in the unholy, in this old world, and think that's going to be all I need? Oh, it's very unwise, dear ones, to do that. Remember, you can imagine anything you want, but wherever your feet are, that's where you are. You can say, oh, I'm over here somewhere, or I'm over there. No, you're exactly where your feet are. And you can say, I'm out of this, or I'm in this. No, you're where your feet are. You're the person that your roots are. You're the person that you have set your roots down in. You are the person that you're drawing from. You're the person that's either serving the Lord and drawing from His well of everlasting water, or you're drawing from that old stagnant pool of sin. And we can say that, oh, preacher, how can you say that? It's the truth. If we choose not, you say, I'm a good person. Well, I'm glad you're a good person. But I want to tell you something. If we're not saved, if we're not living where God wants us to be, if we hadn't cleansed ourselves from our secret faults, if we have planted our roots anywhere besides in Jesus Christ, we're drawing from a sinful influence. And they will wreak havoc with your life and my life, anyone's life who draws from it. The Lord speaks about roots in two or three different places. He talks about a root of bitterness. And many can be defiled. It has an impact, see. That root of bitterness can impact many, many more people. Any kind of root that we start drawing on, it's going to have an impact on ourselves and others. Oh, listen to what he said over here in Mark, the 4th chapter, just for a moment. Mark, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse. The Lord told us a parable about a sower. He went out and he sowed some seeds. And they fell in different kind of places, different kind of ground. And they had different things happen to them. But he sowed some in the 18th verse of the 4th chapter, I'd like to just think about a minute. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. You know, the word can get planted, the word can come unto us, and we can accept it to a large degree. But it matters what else we take in. It matters where we start rooting ourselves and getting into it. You know, we can be introduced again to Christ, but we've got to get to know Him. I can take a casual acquaintance and we never become friends. Same way with the Lord. We can have a casual acquaintance with the Lord and we'll never become intimate. He'll never be that personal friend. And listen to what happened to these folks. This seed, it fell in the ground, it was thorny. And the part that interested me, and the lust of other things. Our roots. What do we really like? What do we really want? Lust means to me inordinate affections. And a lot of times we just use it in a sexual connotation, but it means much more than that. We can lust after absolutely anything. And people do that. The lust of money, pride, vanity. Oh, listen. The lust of other things, the hunger, the desire, the inordinate affection, the attraction you have, the drawing from that, it will choke out the very word of God out of our lives. This is a close way. We cannot afford to just let our roots go anywhere. We must channel ourselves and channel our thoughts and channel our lives, and we must place them where they can draw from the living word of the Lord. Many times, we're not careful, we just kind of let our roots go. Oh, God, help us that we don't start drawing things in our lives, planting ourselves. And Lot pitched his tent. He had a say in it. He purposely said, over there is where I want to pitch my tent. And he reaped terrible things from it. God, help us to choose so carefully. Walk circumspectly, the Bible said. Not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time. Listen, we've got this space. I heard at my youngest son's graduation from college, a man gave a little short talk. It was very provoking to me. He said he had went to a funeral prior to this graduation, and he said the preacher got up to preach the funeral, bring the service. And he brought it out this way. He said, you know, you go out to the cemetery or you look on the little program they give you there, and it gives the dates of this man they were eulogizing. And it says from so-and-so to so-and-so, from this year to that year was that person's lifespan. And he said it's usually got like 1930-1997, something like that. The man said, really and truly, he said, it's not so much the first date that's so important, and it's not so much the last date that's important. He said, it's the dash that's important. And isn't that so? It's the dash. It's whatever length of time we're here. What are we doing with it? Jesus, the Bible said, redeem the time. Take real careful interest in this time. This is your chance to make heaven. This is your chance to be the father, the mother, the wife, the husband, the friend. This is your chance to be the child of God. This is your chance to set down roots in holiness and righteousness. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. It's your dash. And the Bible said, walk circumspectly. Walk very carefully, very carefully. Because there's a myriad of choices out there, folks, and we face them every day. And they're saying, let me in. Let me in your space. Let me in your time. Let me in your mind. Let me in your words. Let me in your thinking. Let me in your direction. Just let me in. Oh, Jesus told us to redeem this time. Be very careful with it. Because what we take in will eventually become the person we are. Think about that. And God help us. Redeem the time. Take advantage of tonight. take advantage of today. I'd like to end tonight with a couple of lamentations, if you will. Over in Romans, the 7th chapter, in the 24th verse, I call it the Lamentation of John and Paul, or Paul and John. But I'm not going to leave you with a lamentation. I'd like to leave you with the answer. This is what Paul come down to a point at some point in his life. In 7 and 24 of Romans, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" A lamentation, if you will. Maybe that's your cry tonight. Maybe you've tried, and you've tried, and you've tried. You wanted to do better. You thought, "I need to do better." The Lord has convicted you. The Lord has shown you. The Lord has talked to you. You recognize your roots are over here in the wrong place. You recognize you've been grafted in by things that are unholy and impure, that you're being influenced in your character and in your virtue. You're being influenced in things that are not right, and you know that, and you're pretending sometimes, and you realize that. And now your lamentation is, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Where's my hope? Where's my help?" I want to read what I consider John's lamentation now. In the 5th chapter of Revelations, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and without, within, written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" Seemed like this book was real important to John, as we read on here in a minute. It seems like it was something that he really needed and saw that it needed to be opened. Listen, there may be an area in your life that you realize, "I need to have the Word of God and be open to that, and let it be opened into my life." Remember, man that I am. You tired of being the person you are? Is the man you are in your heart unsatisfied? Is the mother, is the father, is the person that you have become established in unholy and you're not satisfied? Listen, a leopard can't change his spots, but I'm not going to leave you there. And the Lord's not going to leave us there. Listen to what he said. "And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John said, 'I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon.'" It hurt John. I seem like, to me, it was say John was saying, "But Lord, where's our hope? How can we ever be saved? How can we be delivered?" Listen, there is no hope except in Jesus Christ tonight. All the virtue of this world compiled together is still filthy rags. All the things of men, all the things that men in society comes up with, compared to what will stand at the judgment, it's filthy rags. Is that what you have on hand tonight? Then your lamentation ought to be, "O wretched man that I am." But listen to what he said. Ah, this is the good news. "Oh, and one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not.'" Praise God, we don't have to weep anymore. We can be changed. The leopard's spots can be changed tonight. "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Who is that? Jesus Christ. "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof." Praise the Lord tonight. You can change. You can change. Get this now. You can change. I want you to get this. You can change. Where your roots are, you can change them. If you don't like what's happening to you, the direction your life's taking, if you don't like the man, the person that you are, if you're not satisfied, if you've chosen the broad way, if you set your and pitched your tents towards Sodom, if you reached out and embraced the world, if you've embraced the world's standards and the values, the entertainment, and all the things that they call fun and happiness and joy and success, if you've reached out and you've embraced that and you're still on the inside unsatisfied, oh, listen, you can change it all tonight. The blood of Jesus, it'll prevail. all the line of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And now we can go home, we can be free, we can be saved, we can have them be the man that we can say to ourselves and to God, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, even so, right here tonight, come, Lord Jesus. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, and sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And listen to this, and they sung a new song. Had a little message one time back home. What kind of song are you singing? Oh, listen, you can change your song tonight. Oh, listen, this is good news, folks. You may agree with it, you may disagree, but it's good news. You may change tonight and you may not change, but the news is still good. You can change. You can change. You can change. You can get off the old Broadway. You can get off that old wide gate. And you can have your name in the book of life. The old leopard can have his spots changed. There can be a new creature. You can have virtue based on the Bible. You can have a character that's not ashamed to see Jesus Christ coming. Oh, listen, tonight we can sing a new song. Are you tired of that old tune you're singing? Are you? You think about it. Are you happy with it? You know, sometimes we get an old tune on our hearts or our mind really where it comes from. And you go around whistling it or singing it or humming it all day and you, I wish I'd quit this. Are you tired of that old tune you're singing tonight? Oh, listen. They sing a new song. Listen to this new song. Thou art worthy. He is worthy tonight. He's worthy to devote yourself to. He's worthy to be rooted in. He's worthy to place all your hopes and all your dreams. He's worthy to build on. He's worthy to be worshipped, to take the book and to open the seals thereof. All because he paid the price. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. And hast, listen to this one now. Oh, listen. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Made us kings and priests. Do you remember back in Isaiah in 61st chapter that he called us to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord? We can't do it if we're rooted in this world. We can't do it if we're rooted in selfishness. We can't do it if we're rooted in the things of sin. We just cannot do it. We can't do it if we're going around singing the old song of the world, singing the song of self, singing the song of pride and vanity, singing the song of bitterness and anger and hatred. We can't do it by having an old lustful song that we go around singing all the time. But praise be to Jesus, we can change our tune tonight. We can change our song. We can take the old roots that are rooted down in this old world and in self and pride and jealousy and anger and all the things that men, lust of the flesh and the pride of the eye, we can take them old roots and pluck them up by the blood of the Lamb and plant them in the very book of life in Jesus and in the Word of God. And all we can have a new song, and then we can be kings and priests. That doesn't mean we won't have trouble, but that means we can reign over trouble. That means that we won't be tempted. That doesn't mean that, but it means we can reign over the temptation. Oh, tonight, listen. It really matters where you're rooted. It really matters. It really matters. You can pretend and you can do all you want to, but it really matters. Stand and sing a song. And I want you to think now, am I satisfied where I'm rooted? If Jesus came right now, would I be able to meet him because I have founded myself on a rock and I've lived to him? I've cleansed myself of the most secret faults. Look down in your hearts tonight, folks. If there be any little old thing in there that has a spot of wickedness on it, the spot of the world, you know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to change your spots. He wants to give you a new song. And all this, and you can go out of this building tonight singing high praises to the Lamb of God. You pray for me.